Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But in other news and God's news behind the news, there's a recent article. You know that the financial economy right now, the world, as we've been talking about, mm-hmm. is just really pretty shaky. And even in our own country, they're talking about trying to avoid this fiscal cliff and getting the parties together and working with the president on trying to stop this. But you know, this is man's attempt.
Right.
But in Europe, we do know that Greece is basically, you know, first on this domino of collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And right behind it, many are saying that Spain is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And in a recent article, this is really, really troubling. But they're saying that waves of evictions is leading a homelessness problem in Spain.
Oh, wow.
This is huge,
mm-hmm.
because you're seeing what begins to happen. And, you know, unfortunately, when you start seeing crisis, where people are like, take unemployment, for instance, mm-hmm. and you take homelessness, you know, oftentimes we don't seem to it doesn't impact us as much as, because it's not happening in necessarily in our life or our family or ones that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of keep going along and you hear about it. But this is how it begins. This is how things like this start. And you realize, oh, wait a minute. I didn't realize, you know, a person may say, I didn't realize that the economy was that. But I have a job and I'm paying bills and things are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there really, you know, 9% unemployment? Are there really 23 million people out of work? You know, and unless it's happening to you, you kind of really doesn't land.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to this. There's this 71-year-old couple they interviewed, the New York Times, and they said that they found themselves being evicted of where they lived because they fell behind in their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're living in a building in Spain. They slept in the entrance of the hall of their building. Listen to this.
Oh, wow.
And their daughters, both unemployed were living with them, they slept in their neighbor's van. This is what's going on in Spain now.
Wow.
And the woman, Ms. Lopez, the interview, she says, you know, you can't imagine what it's like to be there in that hall. It's a story you can't really tell because it's not the same as living it.
Mm.
And what's happened is that they're a part of 36 other families now who have taken over a luxury apartment. Listen to this. Them as well, as far as about 36 other families, they've taken over a luxury apartment block that has been vacated for 3 years where there's no electricity. Okay,
oh, wow.
So they're all holding up there, and this is huge. It says that the number of Spanish families facing eviction continues to amount a dizzying pace, and although the country's trying to do some kind of emergency measures, they can't happen fast enough. I mean, Spain virtually has no emergency shelter system for families.
Mm.
I mean, you look at that, even what's happening in the midst of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, New York and New Jersey, they really were not prepared in terms of shelters. I mean, even without the storm alone, there's not that many shelters, you would think, in New York City with a population the way it is.
I mean, you would think.
They got to get people. And, you know, I was in the Bronx not too long ago talking about shelters. And I was traveling with someone, and they pointed to a building to me. She says, you see that building?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. They said, that building, that entire building is a shelter. I mean, it was a huge apartment building, and it is a shelter. And I'm, you know, you're looking at all this, and you're thinking, wow, this is, homelessness has so changed in the face of our country. You know, we would think that someone may think that a homeless person is maybe an elderly person or typically, we think of homeless person as a man or someone that has some sort of, you know, illness, and so they want to live in the street or they maybe have some sort of addiction. But let me tell you something. More and more, you're seeing families.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing women. You're seeing children that are homeless. And so this is what's happening in Spain, and it's troubling. I mean, they said a 53-year-old woman hung herself.
Oh, wow.
Just hours before being evicted.
Mm.
And it's troubling when you think that your very home, the place that you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, it's being reported that many people are just maybe one paycheck away from facing significant financial loss.
Right.
And they're saying that they have a lot of people that are looking for apartments. And one of the realtors said, This is him saying. He says the joke is that half the people touring for apartments that are on the market are actually just picking out which apartment they want to squat in. What apartment they want? They're not really looking for an apartment to actual rent. They're looking to see what place they're going to try to take on over, move back in. And so, one of the things we want to share in the midst of all of this is this: you want to lift people up and begin to start empathizing. Just because things are not happening necessarily to us doesn't mean that one day it will not. And right. If we show compassion and we show empathy for others during their time of need, you know, that's good. We're showing the love of God, the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. And we need to learn from this experience. It's amazing. If it's not happening to you, you don't think about it.
All right.
But then all of a sudden, there's a wave that occurs. Says, well, where did this all happen? What was happening all over the place, but no one paid attention to it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No one gave concern. And we can't live a self-focused life that's just all about us, that we're not taking the time to really look out for our neighbors. I mean, I'm telling you, for what's coming on the face of this earth and what's happening, going to come to America, you're going to need to stay in community. You're going to need to be in right relationship with preferably people that love God, that are abiding, that are hearing God's voice,
right.
Because you're going to need to band with each other. You're going to need to band with each other. I mean, these storms and these disasters that hit show us that you need community.
Mm-hmm.
You need community. And oftentimes we've had that experience when we've been through hurricanes,
right.
That you come out and meet your neighbors. And
it's amazing the people that you meet during those times that you've been living next to for years and years and years.
Absolutely. Don't wait for catastrophe to meet your neighbors. Don't wait for a catastrophe to find out, what they need and who lives in that home, and find out if there's any elderly in your area. I mean, we recently, did some hurricane relief and found there was an 82-year-old woman living all by herself.
That's right.
You saw that, huh?
Yeah, I saw that.
All by herself, not being looked after. And she's old. She doesn't know how to get around. She had no electricity, no power. She really didn't want to leave her home.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get back to caring and reaching out. And as believers, being in the harvest field and taking ownership of our neighborhood.
Right.
Realizing that Acts, tells us that God's determine the exact time and place where we should live, that we could reach out to him and hear him even though he's not far. You're not living in that neighborhood and that house and that street on that block for any old particular person. If you're a believer, God's allowed you a beacon of light to be there for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing with that?
All right, exactly.
What are we doing with that? And I want to encourage you that if you're facing homelessness, if you're facing trials of any kind, I want to caution you and just encourage you not to be anxious.
Right.
Not to be anxious. Philippians tells us, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. We talked about military and Israel. Mm-hmm. Just say, listen, we don't need to be anxious. God's word tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Man, I don't know about you. That is a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture.
That's right.
It has brought me great solace. Many, many, many times. But you think about it, God commands us in his words, not to be anxious. These women hung themselves, bless their heart, because they felt that they had no other choice. Listen, it's not the end of the world. This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to turn to God.
That's right.
We got to turn to God. So it says, that anxious means? Anxious means uneasy, apprehensive, uncertain about a matter, worried, tense.
Mm-hmm.
You're concerned about, a misfortune is going to happen to you. So it's just like, oh, I'm just anxious. You're uneasy, restless, agitated, jittery.
Mm-hmm.
The actual original word in Latin means to choke or squeeze. And if you've been around an anxious person, you just feel like they're choking. They're just like everything's squeezing in on them.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever experienced anxiousness yourself.
All right.
And God's word clearly tells us, don't do it. Don't be uneasy. Mm-mm. Don't be jittery. Don't allow what you're facing to choke you out, choke your family out. Don't even go there.
Right.
About anything. Why would God tell us that about anything? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we're anxious, it's because we're trying to find a solution within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it could be financial. It could be something going on with the family, with the marriage. Mm-hmm. It could be something in your own life, personal struggles and challenges at the workplace. Mm-hmm. And you're anxious. And you talk to a lot of people today with so much uncertainty with what's going on. You just sense a great anxiousness in terms even of their employment. They don't know what's going to happen with the economy. We want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you through God's word that God encourages us not to go there, not to be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, in every situation, in every circumstances, in every place that you find yourself in, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you go along through the day and, you know, anxiousness, you become so worried that you don't even realize that you're worried about something.
All right.
Until someone says, dear, Pat, are you okay? Chris, is everything okay, dear? I'm fine. I'm fine. What? Is there something wrong?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're awfully jittery today. You know, you can be so self-focused. You can have this whole thing going on in your head and in your brain. Mm-hmm. You're thinking so hard that we all see it. It's like we see their brain all functioning. Right. See everything.
It's all over your face.
We see those gears moving, literally. Mm-hmm. And your body becomes to take on what's actually happening within your mind. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we can respond one or two ways. We can become anxious. And anxiousness is what? Wasting our time. Mm-hmm. Being all focused on fear and dread, mm-hmm. of a misfortune. Something's going to happen, as if that could actually change the situation.
Right.
And you got to be careful that you don't have a default setting to be anxious. Some people think that that's normal, that it's okay. I'm just anxious. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my kids. Right. You know, worried about my relationship. Worried about the economy. It's like, you can't have a default setting to go straight into anxiousness and to worry. But in everything, we can actually go to the one who could actually fix the situation. Mm-hmm. Right. In prayer and petition with thanksgiving, you have a request, you have a need, you have a situation, you have a concern, you're going through a trial. You can present your request to God, to the one who actually holds your life in his hands. Mm-hmm. You know, the one who can determine anything, the person who can grant you the relief or the favor. And if he allows it, it's because of his father filter. Mm-hmm. Have you been there? Have you been there before? Have you ever been anxious about something? You realize, why am I so anxious?
All right. Exactly. What's the root of all that is fear. You think about it.
Absolutely.
Every bit of it.
That's the foundation of it. Mm-hmm. Because it's the anxiousness is all about something's about to happen that, mm-hmm. I don't want to happen.
All right. False evidence appearing real.
That's good. That's the acronym, yeah. False, mm-hmm. evidence.
Right.
And you're fretful. Fretful. Sometimes you can be anxious about a conversation because you're thinking, oh, if I have this conversation, this is not going to go well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are you projecting on that? Instead, you know, we could just take that concern, because it could be a legitimate concern. It may not go well, but by focusing on dread and those possibilities that may or may not occur, mm-hmm. why not take that concern? You know, Jesus is our burden bearer. Mm-hmm. Just take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and easy.
That's right.
How many are suffering unnecessarily stress? I mean, and burden, and then you're spreading it all through your family, all through your workplace, and it's like, that's so unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Because God says, hey, bring your burdens to me. I care for you. So prayer and petition, make your requests with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, one of the ways that to really lift up your spirits, Mm-hmm. You know, so one of the ways to really get encouraged is to start thanking God and to remember all the good things that God has done in your life. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, there's nothing that will build your faith. I write this stuff down. I know you and I have had this conversation, you know, and every time God answers mm-hmm. a prayer request, you know, I write it down.
Absolutely.
Because it builds my faith.
Right.
You want to look back and say, oh, yeah, God answered that. And I remember when God answered that, start talking to the Lord in your prayer. Start remembering and thanking him mm-hmm. for all the good things that he has done, mm-hmm. for the times that he's healed you, for the times that he provided you when there was no way.
That's right.
The way that he answered and restored you when it was all said and done and it was all over, that one time God intervened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you said, God, if you get me out of this one, and he did, and how he touched your family, and how he mm-hmm. gave you that job that you didn't have, and you were all by yourself, and you said, Lord, if you give me a family, if you give me, you know, if we just had a child, and God gave you 6 children, and it's like all these different things that God mm-hmm. so, you gotta remember.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sit back and rejoice and ponder. Listen, you can focus on your problem or you can focus on God. But I tell you, both of them, you know, the one you choose is going to determine
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen with you.
That's right. When
you focus on fear, you can focus on faith. And so it's, you know, so we can't be anxious. And the thing about all of this is that he says, in everything, present your request to God. And get this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you actually talk to the one who can do something about your situation,
right.
When you talk to the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you talk to the one, or the rider of the horse whose name is faithful and true, who is just and fair and righteous, when you talk to Jesus, when you talk to the creator and the manager of the universe, who put the stars in place and told the waters to stay at a certain, when you talk to God,
mm-hmm.
come on now. He says, look, you're going to have peace and the peace of God. You know, I was talking to someone the other night, and I remember hearing that one of the names that Jesus had was the Prince of Peace. And I, you know, before I knew God, I thought, oh, that's cute. You know, hope, joy, peace. Oh, that's
right.
A nice little saying that they give Jesus, you know, the Prince of Peace, you know.
Right.
Until, you know, I needed some peace, and I realized that he was the source of peace.
That's right.
Man, when there is anxiousness, you have no peace in your life.
Mm-mm.
There's no peace, constantly worried, things constantly on your mind. Anxiousness and worry and fear will sap and drain the life out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cause you to be bitter. It'll cause you to be edgy. It'll cause you to snap.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
When you have peace, it's all good.
That's right.
And he says, and the peace of God which transcends. That word means to rise above, to exceed. When the peace of God rises above your ability to understand. Now you're talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been through something where it's like, dude, we have just experienced the big one in our home. You know what I'm saying? I just got hit with a mega bomb here.
That's right.
And for all intents and purposes, I should be totally distraught and just like knocked out, my wind knocked out of me. But for some reason,
mm-hmm.
there's an overwhelming peace upon me. And it's beyond my ability to understand. I mean, because if you look at the facts say that I am in trouble. Mm-hmm. If you look at the facts and what other people tell me, this is the big one.
That's right.
You know, that I've been diagnosed. They told me that this was it. But you got to understand, I spoke to God. You got to understand that I took this request. I couldn't worry about the diagnosis. By worrying and focusing and fretting, and that's not going to make me get better.
Mm-mm.
But I took my request. I did like David did, and I magnified God, and I didn't magnify the problem. I said, God, you're bigger than all this. And I started thanking him for what he did for me in all my life. And I looked back at the years and the chapters of my life and saw God's hand upon me and what he's done for my family. And faith started to rise up. And not only faith, but the peace of God started to descend on my mind. Mm. And for some reason, I've got peace.
It's good.
Isn't that good? I mean, we need peace. You got to operate in a place of peace from peace.
Nothing like it.
You ever been in an environment where maybe you're leading something and somebody's just so anxious and they come? That anxiousness, that fear is contagious.
Very contagious. Oh, yeah.
And you bring someone in like that and it starts jumping all on each person. And so the peace of God rises above our ability to understand. And get this. This is what the peace of God does. This is what the peace of God does. It guards your heart and your mind. Let me tell you something. You can have some thoughts that could be pounding so loud in your mind that you can't even go to sleep.
Right.
You're talking about a restless night. You're talking about anxiousness and concern and gripping. Let me tell you something. The peace of God, what it does, it begins to guard your mind. It begins to protect your mind. It begins to build a fortress, a wall, if you will,
right,
of peace, of faith. Of listen, you can go through this. You can go through this. We got to encourage, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want to encourage you today.
That's right.
We're here to encourage you. We're here to enlighten you, to inspire you, to activate you.
That's right.
You know, but don't forget that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what will stop you and what will put a hold on you will be just that: fear, worry, and anxiousness. And listen, you may hear troubling things in the news. You may hear things that happen, you know, to other people. But for us, our comfort, you should know God, you're seeking God here today, is for you to spend that time abiding. I mean, Pat, Chris, can you remember a time? Can you remember a time where you needed to hear God? And you set out to abide in just that one word. That one scripture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, many times. Many times.
Isn't that powerful?
Oh, it is. It just brings you such peace, knowing that God's aware of everything. You know, he's has all your burdens in his hand. He's just waiting for you to release them out of your hand and put them in his.
As soon as
we do that, and then he gives us that faith to believe that he's in control. He's going to take care of that situation.
Right.
And then it's just gone. I just remember so many times when that happened.
Isn't it amazing?
It's wonderful. I mean, it's like, all right, I'm done. I get up, walk away. I mean, it's just done, you know, knowing that God's going to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, like, what is it about God that you don't like? I'm thinking, dude, give your heart to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I can't carry that. Been there, died there, slab worn out, tore up from the floor up. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like, what part of worry, anxious, I mean, if you don't know Jesus, how can you ever truly, think about this, if you haven't accepted the Lord in your heart, how can anyone truly have peace outside of God?
That's right.
How could you? Constantly worrying, and that's why man is just so caught up in his ability and what he can do, and putting so much stock in education and money and all of this, because you become your own fortress.
Mm-hmm.
You become your own insurance policy, if you will. You begin to self-insure against calamities, and you start taking pride and stock in yourself. And let me tell you something. Ain't none of us all that good.
Mm-mm.
And the best of us can all have a bad day.
That's right.
And so it's not about putting your faith and your trust in yourself. It's about turning to God.
That's right.
Turning to the one who's faithful, who loves you, who has a plan for your life, and truly cares about helping you and assisting you and bringing you out through this. And I'll tell you, God can put you through this.
Yes, he can.
You just got to be willing to stay in the pool, right?
That's right. And you can be ready to let go of it.
That's right. let go and let God, right?
Amen.
Because a lot of times God wants to deliver us from something, but we refuse to let it go. Listen, I want to encourage you today. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Take your request, take your concern, and give it straight to God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.